Okay, welcome in everybody to episode 4 of the Beast Floor Podcast, a podcast about cryptid creatures, monsters, and the things that may or may not be hiding in the shadows. I'm your host, Jack Daly. Today we are going to be talking about the old hag tradition, in which an individual experiences a terrifying event when they are in sleep paralysis. We will focus on David Hufford's work on the topic, talk about the features of being hag, and I will share my own personal experiences with this phenomenon. Well, welcome back to Beast Lore. I had to take a bit of a hiatus from recording episodes. I'm in my final year of my master's program here at Utah State studying folklore, and I just got really busy last semester, but I have to do at least 3 episodes this semester. I'm getting course credit for this, and this is the first episode. Really, the old hag tradition, before I get into my own experiences, I want to just kind of give some background and inform you exactly what this is. So, the old hag, it really refers to this experience as it happens in Newfoundland in Canada. And what it is an individual basically sees or senses some kind of creature or presence while they are basically in sleep paralysis. And essentially what happens is you'll be sleeping, and everybody that has this experience, they say that they have had it while they're awake, which is partially true. And you sense this presence, or sometimes you even see it, and it can be quite terrifying because it can manifest itself as a shadow creature or a ball of dark gas. And really what's happening is you are in sleep paralysis, which means that your body is asleep, but your mind is awake. And so this is going to be more clear when I actually give my narrative about it, because, I mean, right now you're probably wondering, okay, like, what is this? What is the old hag? Statistically, probably 15% of my listeners have actually had this experience. So I'm just going to get into my experiences with this, and that will actually be our jumping off point for defining it. You'll have a much clearer idea of what I'm actually talking about by the end of this little narrative, and then we'll jump into basically the work of this one folklorist named David Hufford, who wrote the book about this phenomenon called The Terror That Comes in the Night. And I have had almost all of the features that you could possibly think of for this experience. So my experience with the hag all started about 3 years ago, I think it was. And what happened was I woke up and I couldn't move. I was utterly unable to move. I couldn't move my limbs at all. And this shadow creature was in my room above my bed, and it was strangling me, and I thought it was going to kill me, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I felt like I was choking and like I was suffocating, and I was seeing with my own eyes awake a shadow creature in my room. And I think the way that I would describe what it looks like, it almost looks like a Dementor from Harry Potter, if you know what that looks like. It's, you know, this black cloaked figure. You know, I can't quite recall if it had eyes or a mouth or anything, but yeah, it looks like a shadow person. I mean, that's the only way that I can define it. It has the body of a person. It's shadowy. It's black. And it was trying to strangle me. I struggled, couldn't move, and eventually the experience was just over. It dissipates, and you're able to finally move, you're finally able to breathe, you can't talk or say anything. You want to scream and cry out, but you're utterly incapable of doing so. And so that was the first time that I was hagged, and that's the basic verb, and it's also a noun actually in this case, of what this experience is. That's what they call it in Newfoundland, is being hagged. So the shadow man, the shadow creature, is synonymous with being hagged. And I saw it the next time that I had this experience was a little bit different because I didn't see a shadow man per se in this case, but I did go into sleep paralysis. I was unable to move, and you feel this crushing pressure coming down. And before I go too far into this, I want to loop back to something I was just saying. A point that I want to make also is that in relation to the Dementor from Harry Potter, is that this is actually also where the term Hagrid comes from, being hag-ridden. This is the hag riding you, and there's all these associations with witchcraft, and I don't know if J.K. Rowling ever was hagged herself, but she's certainly familiar with the lore surrounding this phenomenon. I don't know how much longer this was. It was in the same year, but I was in sleep paralysis, and I was waking up from a dream, and I saw a vampire-like creature. I don't know if it was in my mind or if it was external. I think it was a little bit of both. It was a hallucination is what all of this is. It had these vibrant colors emanating from it. And part of this whole thing is that there's a linguistic limitation to it. Like, I don't have the faculties of language to really explain to you what this was because I've never experienced anything like it. So that's what happened, and I don't have really the explanation to tell you, you know, what it was because I don't have a frame of reference for it. And so fast forward to this last semester of school where I wasn't recording these episodes, and this is my last semester of grad school, and I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm not a very anxious or stressed person by my nature, but last semester I became very stressed out and very anxious, I think, because I was putting a lot of my pressure on myself as a graduate student and as a college English instructor to be as good as I could possibly be. But it was creating all this stress, and I developed a rare condition called cyclic vomiting syndrome, which is just as terrible as it sounds, and I was throwing up constantly. Basically a daily routine of vomiting, starting my day off, throwing up, going to teach college class as a 26-year-old, and you can imagine what that's like. And then, you know, doing coursework throughout the day, graduate coursework, and then throwing up, and then having this hag experience basically every single night. And so it was kind of this vicious cycle. And I think that maybe one thing that happened, I mean, I don't have necessarily the proof that this is the case, but I was taking anti-nausea medication, and one of the side effects of this medication was called serotonin syndrome, which basically causes hallucinations. And while I was taking this medication, I was being hagged almost every single night. And when I stopped taking the medication, it stopped happening. So, I mean, for me, there's a correlation there. I don't know if it really was or not, but I mean, to me, those things were connected. So a few of the times I was seeing this shadow creature again, definitely a shadow man is what a lot of people call it. And I think that that's because those are the words to describe what it looks like. But I also had an experience where, you know, I woke up, I was in sleep paralysis, and there is this gaseous ball in my room, literally hovering in my bedroom, and I'm seeing this, I'm awake. Well, I'm in sleep paralysis, so I'm partially awake, technically, but I'm seeing this not as in a dream, it's in reality. And so that was terrifying. There's one time where I was having a dream, and my mom was holding this feral dog, and she was like, "Hey, Jack, isn't this isn't this dog so cute? And I was like, no, that dog is hideous. It's disgusting. And then the dog turned into the shadow creature. And while it did, I woke up and I was being hacked. You know, I had this crushing feeling coming down on me. And that was one of the times that the shadow creature actually was there. And you can't speak, you can't move, you just feel utterly helpless. And, you know, people who have had this experience, they try and come up with ways with coping with it. Some people try and invoke the name of Jesus. Honestly, that didn't really work for me. I don't know why. I smudged my apartment with sage. That didn't work. I would pray to Archangel Raphael before night, and it seemed to be when I did that, that seemed to help. And sadly, what's been, this kind of stopped, but it's happened twice since I stopped taking this anti-nausea medication. And luckily, right now at least, I'm not throwing up like I was, and I'm not being hagged every night, so things are going much easier for me right now. Yeah, sadly, what started working for me is I would just tell it that it didn't matter to me. It doesn't. It doesn't even affect me anymore. I'm numb to it because it's happened so many times. I mean, this has happened to me 20 or 30 times. People might think that this is a demon when they see it. I mean, when this happens, this is the most evil thing that you could possibly imagine. And I mean, imagine it. There's this shadow creature in your room strangling you and you think you're going to die. And there's this feeling of utter pure dread and evil. I mean, if that's not what you would think a demon is, I don't know what else you would feel. But the research says that it's not a demon. And that's comforting. By the end, when this would happen, I wouldn't even open my eyes. I would just sort of let it pass. And so I can't even say if it's been there, if the, you know, the apparition has been there, but still I've been in sleep paralysis and feeling pure dread when I'm having it. And so some of you, I'm guessing some of you out there are saying, what is this guy talking about? I mean, there's no way that this is real. I'm telling you this happens. And some of you out there are probably saying, wow, this person actually knows about this thing that happened to me? I thought I was crazy. Let me tell you, you're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. This is a physiological thing. You're not being haunted by a demon. There's not some kind of evil force that's out to get you. This isn't something that you're conjured in your life because maybe you were dabbling with something that you shouldn't have, or maybe this isn't some kind of cosmic retribution for your sins. This is just, I mean, I don't like reducing fantastic experiences to science, but this is just a scientific thing. It's just something that can happen. It seems like it shouldn't happen, but it does. So there's four basic characteristics to the old hag experience. And all of these were detailed in these stories that I was just sharing. The first one is a subjective impression of wakefulness. And it said that it's subjective, but because, like I said, what's really going on is that you're in sleep paralysis, so your mind is awake, but your body is asleep. And so basically what happens is when you go into a deep sleep, REM sleep, you start conjuring these images that belong to the dream world. And technically you're hallucinating these dreams. And your body, we've developed a mechanism where our body locks itself. You know, your limbs go into a lockdown, so you're not able to act out on the movements that you're doing in your dream, like punching or running and stuff like that, as much as you should be. I mean, of course, if you've ever seen a dog, sometimes, you know, it'll be running and sometimes we do act out on the things, the actions that we're doing in our dream, but we don't do it as much as we should. So your body as a mechanism locks down. But occasionally, what can happen is your mind will wake up before your body. And so your body is stiff like a board, like you would be while you're sleeping and in REM sleep. But your mind is awake, but it's still conjuring these hallucinations. And so the technical term for this experience is sleep paralysis with hypnagogic or hypnopompic hallucinations. And so hypnagogic and hypnopompic, that refers to you going in or out of sleep. So like I said, this isn't something demonic. It feels like it certainly does, but it's really just you're in sleep paralysis and your brain is producing these images that normally would be in sleep, and your body is in this paralysis that occurs while you're sleeping. And so that's number two. Number two characteristic is immobility. And that's the reason. You're unable to move. You can't move or speak or anything. And it's because you're in sleep paralysis. The third characteristic is a realistic perception of the actual environment. And that kind of ties into this impression of wakefulness. And so people will be like, I was in my room. You know, I saw this shadow creature in my room. And that's the perception. You are seeing the environment you're in, but you're also hallucinating these images into your environment. But you are somewhat awake, and you are in your room like you think you are, or wherever it happens. It might happen in the living room. You're in the room or the place that you think you are. And the fourth is fear. And for anybody who has had this experience, you know that that's a very real thing. And that fear is, you know, you feel like this thing is completely evil, and you can be in fear of your life. And I mean, I have been. When you think you're getting strangled is what it feels like. So before I get into the secondary features and some of the more odd things that may have led me to experience this, I want to contextualize it a little bit. And really, we know about all of this mainly from a folklorist named David Hufford. And he was doing this field work in Newfoundland, which is in Canada. And Newfoundland is an area it's had a lot of folk belief, and a lot of folklore has carried on in Newfoundland because it's relatively isolated culturally. And it has a sort of ethos of cooperation and mutual understanding. And it's very tight-knit communities because they kind of rely on each other. And so these folk beliefs, they get passed around in Newfoundland in a way that they don't necessarily in other places. David Hufford, he had an old hag experience himself. And so he prompted to... Well, this experience, it prompted him to actually go out and try and research what was actually happening with it. And he did field work in his classes and around the community in Newfoundland while he was at Memorial University in Newfoundland, which is one of the programs, one of the colleges that has a tremendous folklore program, one of the few ones. So it was a unique place for him to actually be researching this. And he wrote this book, The Terror That Comes in the Night, in 1982. And what's fascinating is part of the book is these firsthand accounts from individuals. And they're sharing their story. They're sharing their old hag experiences. But he also goes through and he details old hag experiences throughout history. And it goes back, there's Salem Witch Trial, the Malleus Maleficarum, which we've talked about at length on this podcast. There's a lot of historical references to old hag experiences. And one of his kind of postulates, one of the things he infers, is that the old hag might have actually been a very important thing in leading us to believe in the supernatural. This might have been an origin point for beliefs in witchcraft and the beliefs in the other world, essentially. Because if you weren't in the modern day and had a folklorist who could research this and actually figure out the dream science behind it, you would think that that this is a demon or this is something supernatural. Absolutely, you would think that. And still today, people who aren't familiar with this work, I'm sure, think they are, because that's how I felt. I felt that, quite honestly, I felt like something was wrong with me. And it was very comforting to read this book and actually figure out that this is quite normal and that, like I said, about 15 or 20% of the population experiences this. And so some of the secondary features that go into the old hag experience is, one is that you will be in a supine position, which means that you're laying on your back. So one of the first things that you'll want to do if you want to avoid having the experience is by avoid sleeping on your back. And that's not to say that if you sleep on your side or if you sleep on your stomach that you won't have this experience. I've definitely been hagged lying on my side. I've never been hagged laying on my stomach, oddly enough. I don't sleep on my stomach that often, but I forget what the number is, but the overwhelming majority of hag experiences come while people are laying on their back. And it's interesting because there's a brief reference to this in the book, but I used to do a supine meditation, so laying on my back meditation before I would go to bed, and for whatever reason, being in this position, laying on your back in complete darkness, for me allowed to delve deeper into my mind than just, you know, sitting in lotus position or sitting in the Egyptian god position, whatever you want to call it. And so I did it a lot, but then I started having weird experiences. I started being able to see too much in my meditations, if that makes sense. So I stopped doing that, but Hufford, at one point, he does conjecture that supine meditation might predispose an individual to having this experience more than others. So I found that interesting. And another one of the secondary features is the feeling of a presence, usually on your chest, and this is the shadow man, or this is the blob. And sometimes I've had this experience, I've been hagged, and I haven't seen anything, but I've felt the presence. And until you've actually had that experience, there's no way for really describing it, but there's something in the room and you know it's there, you just can't see it. So again, I'm sure maybe one or two of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm guessing the overwhelming majority can't quite understand that, but that's what it's like. And another secondary feature is that there's a numinous quality to this experience. And numinous basically means something that's spiritual in nature. So that's why people will think it's a demon, or that's why people will try and invoke the name of Jesus or pray out to some kind of higher power, because, I mean, this is an experience that's otherworldly. It seems like it comes from another realm. It's not something that happens in everyday life. Let's just put it that way. And the final secondary feature that Hufford describes is fearing for your own death. This one is uncommon. I think only a couple of times have I actually felt like I was going to die during this. Hufford himself, when he describes his hag encounter, he definitely was in fear for his own life, and some of the individuals that he documents in his book were. But that's one of the reasons why that's a secondary feature, is that all of these are not required for it to be an old hag account. So as a folklorist, he was trying to figure out what are the actual qualities that have to be there for somebody to be hagged. And so those four: subjective impression of wakefulness, immobility, realistic perception of the actual environment, and fear, those are the absolute requisites for a hag experience, and that's what he would go look for in literature throughout the ages and through these accounts of the people that he's interviewing to see if they actually were being hagged or not. So one of the things that Hufford puts forward in his book is he comes up with this framework for experiencing and understanding supernatural events. And he puts forward these two hypotheses that could explain why people were being hagged. The first is called the cultural source hypothesis, and the second is the experiential source hypothesis. And so the cultural source hypothesis, it says that the old hag or experiences of that nature would be fictitious products of tradition or imaginary subjective experiences shaped by culture. So that would be, you know, this is a culturally influenced event. Somehow this is basically cast upon you by the culture that you're in. And this is probably what you would expect from a folklorist, would be the cultural source hypothesis, because folklorists are very, very interested in cultural context and understanding, you know, why this happens in this culture and maybe in the, not in another culture, stuff like that. And so the experiential source hypothesis says that this tradition contains elements that are independent of culture. And this isn't what you would expect a folklorist to come to, but it's actually the one that Hufford chooses would be the correct hypothesis, and I think he's absolutely correct in doing that. And the reason for this being is that, yeah, it's the old hag in Newfoundland, but Hufford experienced this. He's not from Newfoundland. He's, you know, he didn't grow up in this culture, and so he wouldn't have known about it. I'm not from Newfoundland. I didn't know about this before it happened. That's why I was so freaked out by it. And people have had this experience, like I said, throughout time and space, which that shows that this is basically a physiological thing that is somehow rooted in us as human beings, and it's not reliant on culture. So that's a very interesting sort of conclusion that Hufford comes to, that wouldn't be the typical folklore response. And so he comes up with this concept called the experience-centered approach to examining the supernatural. And it's for the supernatural in particular, but it could be applied to other realms of study. And his postulate for this approach is that some portions of supernatural belief are, they come from accurate observations that have been interpreted rationally. And this is a perfect example of this, because it's not something that should be happening. And people are correctly and accurately reporting their experiences. It's not something that they're making up. It's not something that's purely speculative or that's pulled out of thin air. It's an experience that people have. And really, it's refreshing for people who have had numinous experiences, because they're not discounting it right off the bat, which is a tendency for people to do when people have some sort of supernatural numinous experience, like seeing a UFO or abduction, which actually I think might actually be tied into this whole sleep paralysis thing. But I really like his experience-centered approach, and really, Hufford is dealing with what are called memorats in folklore. And so memorats are firsthand experiences that happened in the recent past that are supernatural or sort of not normal in some sort of way. So that's what a memorat is, and that's different from a legend, which is third person. You know, I heard this from somebody else, this happened to somebody else, whereas a memorat is, I was hagged. This happened 2 years ago, and it was weird. A legend happened to somebody else, recent historical past, believable historical past, and had some kind of odd quality to it. So memorats are useful for using the experience-centered approach, because you can think that people were interpreting this rationally and are accurately depicting the experiences that they've had, no matter how odd they might be. And this Newfoundland tradition is actually tied into beliefs about witches and sorcerers. And in Newfoundland, there's a belief that witches are able to fly out of their bodies. And so people thought that oftentimes a witch was coming to them in this form, in this basically spiritual form, and were the ones that were doing this writing. So that's why it's called being hagged, and that's why we have the hag ride, Hagrid. It's all tied into each other. And a lot of people who have had this experience also have, at one point in their lives, either experienced astral projection or out-of-body experiences as well. And I don't want to say a lot of people, but I mean, some people in the book, they reported astrally projecting, which is basically when you are flying in your body, either in mind or completely out of your body, to another realm or another place on Earth, essentially. And so I just found that experience, or I found that interesting, because I've had that experience as well. I've had a full out-of-body experience, and coincidentally, I was in a supine position doing meditation on my bed. So I think that that has something to do with all of this. Part of the problem with the old hag experience, it kind of ties into one of the main problems with our culture, basically, especially here in America. I mean, the dominant culture. We don't talk a lot about a lot of stuff often. We don't like sharing things that are abnormal, typically. And what happens is this causes people to bottle up and they don't have anywhere to go. And I can tell you, for me having this experience, I mean, it was a weight that I was carrying around with me everywhere. And I didn't know how to talk to. I didn't want people to think I'm crazy, which I think that this is an important podcast episode for me to be recording, because part of what I'm trying to reiterate for any of you out there who have had this experience is that you're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. So you've had this odd experience and you're just carrying it around like a weight and you don't know who to turn to. And I mean, I heard Hufford give a presentation at American Folklore Society, the annual meeting, and he said, don't tell your doctors, don't tell your priests, because doctors, you know how they act in this country. I mean, they're just going to throw medicine at you and it's just going to make it worse. I mean, that's actually best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they're going to throw you in, the psychiatric ward or something like that. They're going to dub you as being crazy. And you can't tell your priests, generally, because they're going to think you have some kind of demonic infestation. And I actually listened to another interview that Hufford gave, and he did say that he heard about a priest, somebody telling their priest, and the priest himself had the hag experience. So maybe you'll get lucky and the priest will not think that you're being infested, and maybe the doctor won't think that you're crazy, but it's hard to have somebody to talk to. So if you're going to confide in people, find people that you can trust, really. And I mean, especially if you're listening to this and you need somebody to talk to, reach out to me. I mean, like I said, I've had this experience enough, and I think I have the tools to both understand what you've been through and give you some kind of reassurance that this isn't some kind of dark, terrible thing that's been happening to you. So this is about wrapping up the episode. One of the conclusions that Hufford comes to is that science has a lot of blind spots, and it's our job to find them. And I really think that that's an interesting takeaway. I'm sure that there's other things that are out there that are like this. As of right now, I'm not really sure what else there is, but I just have the suspicion that this is just the beginning. And that's kind of what Hufford, he says that his work is just meant to be a beginning. Really, I think he was just talking about the beginning of researching this phenomena, and still we need to actually really understand the chemical effects that occur in the brain. I think it's probably tied into DMT being secreted in the brain, if I'm being honest with you, but I mean, I don't know. But as a whole, people are having these experiences. People are having numinous experiences, and we need to get to the bottom of them. And using this experience-centered approach, I think, is a good place to start, because it causes us to think critically. It causes us to analyze what's really going on and not just discount people's experiences outright. Well, that's all for today's show. BeastLore is available on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow me on social media at USU Folklore on Twitter and at Archaic Futurism on Instagram. We'll see you next time.